Father, so much for this day. Father, a day that we draw a breath that's not guaranteed. And yet, Lord, you bless us with moment by moment. You bless us with so much. And now, Father, as we approach your throne, we pray, Lord, and ask that you would search our hearts. The sin that doth so easily beset us, Father, bring it to our forefront that we can confess it to you. May we be cleansed from it, Lord, that we can approach your throne in a worthy manner. And in so doing, Lord, be able to pray. Because we know, Lord, that your word says, if we regard iniquity in our hearts, you will not hear us. So we pray, Father, and lift prayers up to you. First and foremost, Father, we thank you for being the one and only true God, for giving us the grace and mercy that none of us deserve, for showing us the power and wisdom that none of us can comprehend. Father, we thank you for that. And now, Lord, we thank you for so much, for our homes, for our food, for our water, for our prosperity, which is great indeed, especially when compared to the rest of the world. Father, most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who you sent to die on the cross for us. We thank you for that. And now, Father, we come to you with empty hands. We have nothing to give but our sin. And the only good that we can give you is the good that you have placed in our hearts with your Son, Jesus' Spirit. So, Father, we bow before you. We're humble before you, and we thank you. And we lift prayers up to you, Father, for this country. It seems like, Lord, it's in turmoil. But we know, Father, that you're in control and that nothing happens that you do not decree. So, Father, we thank you for that, and we thank you for our country, and we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be strong in the face of the decisions that you will make, in which direction this country goes. Help us to be good testimonies to you, Father, in all occasions. And now, Father, we lift our leaders up to you, the president, the vice president, all of our congressmen and senators and legislators. We lift all of these people, the people that lead this country, we lift them up to you, Father, and ask that you would touch their hearts in a way that they would realize that the only wisdom, the true wisdom, the good wisdom with which to lead with can only come from you. We pray, Father, that they would tap that resource of you. Father, for our troops all over the world, Lord, we pray for them. We pray for their safety. We pray for their return home. And we pray, Lord, for their successful missions in which they will carry out. Father, we pray for the salvation of our loved ones. We all have loved ones, Lord, that aren't saved. And it's a burden to us. It's a burden to our hearts. Father, as a parent, you know the pain that parents go through when they see their children struggling, not doing the things that they know would be best for them. We know that you know that. You know what that feels like. So, Father, we pray and ask that you would help us to deal with that. But at the same time, Lord, draw our loved ones to your Son, Jesus, that they would know salvation, that Jesus would abide in them, that they would abide in him. Father, for a daughter who is in prison, this is a tough place to be, Lord. especially for a woman. Jail is not fun, Lord. You gave me that experience, and I understand it. So I pray, Father, and ask that you would comfort her mother and just touch her heart in a way that she would realize, Father, that the only safety, that the only peace can be found in you. Father, for a young man from a Christian home who has more or less walked away from his faith, if he really had faith in the first place, Lord, we don't know. Only you know. But we pray, Lord, for him, and we pray, Lord, for his parents, and we pray, Lord, for his grandparents, and ask, Lord, that you would, in this case also, draw him to your son. Father, for this young woman who's dealing with vertigo, my mom knows that all too well, Lord. So we pray, Father, for her, because she is a young woman. Father, for Keith Lair, who has had an accident with a chainsaw, Lord. We do pray, Father, that his healing would be complete. We thank you, Lord, for the very fact that the injuries were not more severe than what they were. But we do pray, Lord, and thank you. And now, Father, all the other prayer requests on here, there are many indeed, Lord. We thank you for Jill's recovery so far. We do pray, Lord, that the rest of the recovery would be quick and that she would be walking again just like new. And we do pray, Lord, now, again, for the rest of these prayer requests, there are many. And we do pray, Father, that as we enter into this time of worship, as we listen to a message that's brought to us by our pastor, the pastor that you have placed here, Lord, may our eyes be open, our ears be open, and our hearts especially be open and attentive. Change us, Father, with your word, that each day we would grow closer to you. These things we'll pray in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. Thank you.
If you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Looking together at verses 1 to 10. Let's pray as we get ready to look at God's Word together, shall we? Lord, we thank you for those folks that are here. We thank you especially for the mothers, as we've already said. We pray that today would be a wonderful day for them as their loved ones gather around them and commend them for all the good things they have done. And Lord, we pray for our nation, that it would be a nation that would once again recognize the traditional family as being ordained by you, and that all other alternatives are but an abomination in your sight. And we pray, Father, that you would help us as Christians to show other people the way, that there is a right way to live and there is a way to be saved from their sin. And we ask that you would work in the hearts of those that we talk with, that you would draw them to yourself. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Someone named John Killinger wrote in a book, and he entitled Lost in Wonder, Love, and Praise, he wrote these words: I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who was born of the promise to a virgin named Mary. I believe in the love Mary gave to her son that caused her to follow him in his ministry and stand by his cross as he died. I believe in the love of all mothers and its importance in the lives of the children they bear. It is stronger than steel, softer than down, and more resilient than a green sapling on the hillside. It closes wounds, melts disappointments, and enables the weakest child to stand tall and straight in the fields of adversity. I believe that this love, even at its best, is only a shadow of the love of God, a dark reflection of all that we can expect of Him, both in this life and the next. And I believe that one of the most beautiful sights in the world is a mother who lets this greater love flow through her to her child, blessing the world with the tenderness of her touch and the tears of her love. Ladies, mothers, may I say to you once again, Happy Mother's Day. How many mothers, as I said, how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. A number of mothers. And we thank you for the impact that you have had in the lives of your children and other people as well. We appreciate the chance to honor you this morning. In talking about mothers, one writer gave a job description. Maybe you've heard this one. Mom wanted long hours, low pay, little time off, must be willing to work overtime on weekends, holidays, and summer vacations. Energy, imagination, intelligence, endurance, and flexibility required. Must have the ability to lead, instruct, and guide, coupled with a warm and loving, affectionate personality. On-the-job training offered. So probably you've all had on-the-job training, right? In its present form, Mother's Day was established by someone named Anna Marie Jarvis, with the help of a Philadelphia merchant named John Wanamaker, following the death of her mother, Ann Jarvis, May 9, 1905. A small service was held on May 12, 1907 in the Andrews Methodist Episcopal Church in Grafton, West Virginia, where Anna's mother had been teaching Sunday school. But the first official service was May 10, 1908 in the same church, accompanied by a larger ceremony in the Wanamaker Auditorium in the Wanamaker store on Philadelphia. The next year, the day was reported to be widely celebrated in New York. Jarvis then campaigned to establish Mother's Day first as a U.S. national holiday, then later as an international holiday. The holiday was declared officially by the state of West Virginia in 1910, and the rest of the states quickly followed. On May 8, 1914, the U.S. Congress passed a law designating the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day and requesting a proclamation. On May 9, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson issued a proclamation declaring the first National Mother's Day as a day for American citizens to show the flag and honor those mothers whose son had died in war. In 1934, U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt approved a stamp commemorating the holiday. In May 2008, the U.S. House of Representatives voted twice on a resolution commemorating Mother's Day, the first one being unanimous, with 21 members not voting. The Grafton Church, where the first celebration was held, is now the International Mother's Day Shrine and is a National Historic Landmark. So that's a little history about Mother's Day in the United States. So today we celebrate Mother's Day as we have done every year. Every year you hear a Mother's Day message. We will look together this morning at an Old Testament woman, a woman named Jochebed, where in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20, we are told that her name means Yahweh, or the Lord is glory. So take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. As we look at this passage, we're going to find three ways in which a godly mother shows love to her children. Three ways in which a godly mother shows love to her children. The first way is very obvious, and that is that she gives life. A woman, a mother, gives life. A godly mother shows love to her children by giving them life. They would not be here if that woman did not do that. Let me read to you verses 1 and 2 of Exodus chapter 2. It says, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. So there was a man by the name of Levi, and he married a Levite woman. She became pregnant. She gave birth to a son. That son was Moses. She already had some other children. Childbirth was a difficult process in that day, as it is now. Now, this was actually promised back in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15, where the Lord told Eve, "I will greatly increase your pain in childbearing, and with pain you will give birth to children." So that's been promised already back in the garden. That's a result of mankind falling into sin. And Jochebed became pregnant during difficult times. Israel was living in Egypt during this time. A Pharaoh came to rule over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He was not either interested in or aware of the situation regarding how the Israelites actually came to live in Goshen in Egypt. And he ordered the Hebrews to become slaves. And he sent taskmasters over them and ordered that the Hebrew midwives, kill the newborn baby boys because he was afraid. What was he afraid of? He was afraid that these Jews were multiplying so rapidly and becoming so numerous that they would turn out to be a military threat to his regime. And so in the midst of all this, Moses was born. His mom saw that he was a beautiful, outstanding baby, and she did everything she could to keep him hidden and to keep him safe, even to the point of constructing a wicker basket that would be waterproof. And I guess with that pitch that she put in there, there was some thought that maybe that would keep away the crocodiles. And she put that by the reeds of the bank of the Nile River. She brought it down, or had it brought down, to the Nile River. And she sent her daughter, Miriam, Moses' sister, to try and keep an eye on Moses to see what would happen. There was some hope that if she could get him down there, maybe someone from Pharaoh's court or somehow someone would come along and deliver Moses. As the story goes here in Scripture, Pharaoh's daughter came along with her maidens down to take her daily bath, apparently. She saw the child and took pity on the child and rescued him. And actually, the word Moses, or the name Moses, comes from a word called Masah or Mashah, which means to draw out, because Moses was drawn out of the water. Now, as we know, women experience a great deal of difficulty, pain, inconvenience, etc., during the process of bringing new life into the world. We men certainly have a role in all of this, but it is relatively minor in comparison to the woman. They are ones who carry the baby to term inside their bodies. They are the ones who go through the physical process of labor, delivery, stretch marks, morning sickness, sometimes postpartum depression, etc., etc. If I left anything out, ladies, you can tell me after the sermon. They are typically the ones who get up in the middle of the night to take care of the child, even though men sometimes do help, and we should. Men are not always as well received by the child as women are. Sometimes women get pregnant when they weren't expecting it. They weren't anticipating it. Sometimes they bring children into the world when their circumstances are not good, their personal circumstances, or the condition of the world around them leaves much to be desired. Certainly we could say that was the case back during the time of Moses. During the time of Moses, it was not a good time for male Hebrew infants to be born. Your life expectancy tended to be a little bit short. There was a despotic leader who was trying to kill them. Yet she persevered, and she delivered Moses safely and made arrangements to keep him alive. Can you imagine what it would be like if you were a woman, a mother, and you had a baby boy, and you knew that the leader of your country wanted him dead? how that would make you feel, and the anxiety and the concern and the prayers and all the things that would take place. And in the midst of all that, she came up with a plan. It was obviously a plan that had been sent down by God. I don't know if he spoke to her. More likely she thought of it, but actually God probably directed her thoughts. And she put him in a little basket. And she put tar inside the basket. And next thing you know, he's out floating in the Nile. And we know the rest of the story. Women in today's society live during a time when a pregnancy can be terminated legally. If you don't want to have a kid, you don't have to. This is called abortion. We know about this. Over 60 million babies in America have had their lives ended, had their lives snuffed out, and their blood is crying out from the ground for God's wrath and for God's vengeance to take place in response to this, and to fall upon those who are involved in such activities and do not repent. Women are often told that being a mother, being a housewife, being a stay-at-home mom is a waste of their potential, and it is a waste of their lives, and they receive criticism and scorn from some in our culture if they choose that lifestyle. We live in a society that devalues human life, that undermines the traditional family, and that in many cases demeans motherhood. Two nights ago on Fox News, I just caught a blip of this, and I didn't get the whole thing, of a story where it appears that there has been some recent attacks on Mother's Day or criticisms of Mother's Day because the gay transgender people are feeling offended by such a celebration. I don't know what they want, Parents Day or something like that, but they're offended by this, of Mother's Day and a Father's Day, and that's too much like the traditional family, and of course we can't have that, right? According to some people in our culture. So many people feel offended by that. So there's attacks and there's criticisms of things that we would hold dear, like Mother's Day and Father's Day. And there was an American movie. Anybody ever watch Kramer versus Kramer? 1979. Actually, you can go online and look it up, and they'll give you a little bit of it, trailer of it, where a woman who is played by Meryl Streep decided to leave her husband, who is played by Dustin Hoffman, because she had decided to go and, quote, find herself, whatever that means. just look in the mirror, there you are, you found yourself. There was a divorce because she didn't want to be in the family anymore. She didn't want to be a housewife. She didn't want to be married to him. She left. There was a custody battle. There was a very serious negative impact on the boy. All of these are apparently depicted in the movie. Everyone is hurt, all because the mother decided she needed to abandon her motherly duties and, quote, find herself, whatever that means. Not against women working when they have to, just so you know. I know that sometimes you gotta work. I'm okay with that, but not to abandon the family and go off somewhere and try to figure out who you are. We thank God for all the mothers who love their children and are willing to bring them into the world, giving them life, doing everything they can to keep them safe. And the first way that a godly mother shows love is by giving her child life. Well, you don't have to do that in America now. You can get it taken care of. Of course, the consequences, obviously for the infant, are severe, and for the person doing it, also severe. I've talked to people that had abortions and all they do is cry. But I had to do it because I had all these other things. They said, well, you killed your baby. And they said, yeah, I know. And so there are very serious consequences. Second way that a godly mother shows her love to her child, by protecting and nurturing that child. So you have to remember the context of the story. Pharaoh ordered all the death of the Hebrew baby boys. He wanted them killed, because if you kill off the guys, most likely you're not going to be able to have an uprising, because they won't have enough guys to form an army. The Hebrew midwives refused to obey his orders. They said, we're not doing that. fact, the scripture says back in chapter 1 that they feared God. And they stated, they told the Pharaoh when he questioned him on this, well, these Hebrew women, they're incredibly vigorous women. And we just can't get there in time to deliver the baby because, well, the baby's already delivered. So what are we going to do? You know, you see that back in chapter 1 of the book of Exodus. Moses was born, and he was hid by his mother Jochebed. When it was clear that this arrangement wasn't going to work any longer, she rigged up a little basket for him, put him in the Nile River, and trusted God for the results. God sovereignly brought the daughter of Pharaoh down to the river. She saw the baby Moses. She drew him out of the water and then told Moses' sister that she could use a Hebrew woman to act as a wet nurse. And this was a woman that would nurse the child. That Hebrew wet nurse turned out to be Jochebed herself. It all worked out very well. Jochebed, in faith, put Moses in the basket, put him in the Nile, trusted God for the results, and she did what she could. She did what she had to do to nurture and protect her child. She didn't, humanly speaking, she didn't have a lot of options. So this is what she came up with, and it all worked out very well. Herbert Lockyer wrote this about Jochebed. How Jochebed managed to hide her baby, who doubtless cried as lustily as other babies in some secret place where he could not be seen or heard, is a mystery. When she was unable to conceal him any longer, God, through the intensity of her faith, caused her to inherit a vision of what he had appointed for Moses. She made a little cradle of plaited reeds, which were believed to be a protection against crocodiles. Lots of crocodiles in the Nile River. Then placed the cradle with its treasure secretly among the rushes at the river's bank and told Miriam, her young daughter, to stand near to watch over the small craft. The brief but vivid account of what happened is given by the historian, even by Moses himself. Remember, Moses wrote the book of Exodus, who in his latter years, by divine inspiration, wrote the first five books of the Bible. At her usual time, Pharaoh's daughter came to the feathery greenness edging the ancient Nile to wash herself, and her maidens walking by the riverside saw the cradle among the rushes. When the royal lady saw the beautiful baby and heard his cry, she had compassion on him. A Hebrew woman must be found to nurse the child. Jochebed was fearfully watching the fate of that precious child she had borne and the rough cradle she had fashioned. Young Miriam was also near at hand and quite naively said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go up and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said, "Go." Miriam was not long in calling her mother and presenting her as a nurse. Pharaoh's daughter asked her to nurse the child for her at a given wage. Thus Jochebed's baby was not only saved, but Jochebed was paid to care for him until he was weaned. We all know women who not only gave their children life, but also protected them and nurtured them as well. We are here today as a result of such life-giving, nurturing, and protecting behaviors of our mothers. May God bless each and every one of us, and may God each bless each and every mother here this morning who has followed His will in this area of their lives. When a child is sick, when a child is scared, when a child is hurt, who do they typically ask for? I know there's some exceptions to this. They ask for mom. I know one night, many, many years ago, our son was crying during the night, and his mother said, "You know, I'm so tired. Will you go over there and you know what to do? Change his diaper. You put the bottle on the stove, you know, put it in the water, you know, and heat it up, give him his formula. I just need to sleep." So I got up, and I probably am not the greatest nursemaid there ever was, but I got up and I walked into the bedroom. I looked at him and he looked at me, and he just started to cry, and Patty goes, "Oh, for heaven's sakes," and she got up and ended up taking care of him. But, you know, they don't usually want dad. They usually want their mother. That's typically the way it is. You know, dad will do if there's nobody else around, but, you know, when mom's there, they want mom. We all know the answer to that question. They all ask for their mothers. So we have two ways of showing love to our children that mothers do. Is one is give life, the other is protecting and nurturing, and number three, it's teaching faith. Now mothers teach their children many things, okay? But the most important thing they do is they teach their children faith. As we look at Jochebed, we must realize that she is a woman of faith. She was a sinner just like the rest of us, just trying to figure out what to do in a tough situation. But she was a woman of faith, and God honored that. As such, she passed on that faith to Moses, who became a man of faith. Jochebed didn't have as much time, probably, as most mothers do with their children. You know, she had him for a while, and then she weaned him, as I understand it, and then he went over to live with Pharaoh's daughter. But she appears to have done the best she could with the time and the resources that she had. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 23 to 28. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith Moses was hidden by his mother. By faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he chose to endure ill treatment with God's people rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of Egypt. By faith, he left Egypt, taking the people out. By faith, he kept the Passover, which was ordained by God. By faith, he passed through the Dead Sea, which had to be an incredible miracle. While we recognize that faith is ultimately a gift from God, we see that in the Bible, we can have it modeled for us by other people, and these other peoples can be our mothers. As Moses lived out his life, he emulated the faith of his mother, which she taught him by her taking care of him and loving him as much as she was able. As the child is usually with the mother more than the father has a unique opportunity to teach her children that other people don't have. This includes spiritual truths as well as other truths. You know, in counseling, you know, I go work at a counseling agency as my bivocational job, and we have a lot of people come in with lots of different problems, and some people come in with what we would call mother issues. You know, they have had terrible experiences with their mothers, and it affects them. And other people come in that, you know, maybe they have other problems, but they've had a good experience with their mother. And so we see the way a mother can influence a person in their upbringing, how it affects them for the rest of their life. Many children report the experience of hearing the gospel and coming to faith by the interaction that they have with their mother. Augustine, however you want to pronounce that, said, in his writings he confessed the great debt that he owed his mother Monica, who prayed for him. And if you know anything about Augustine, he was kind of a playboy type of guy. But then, over time and under God's sovereignty, he became under the influence of someone named Ambrose. Ambrose was a one of those early church fathers. And eventually, through that influence and through the prayers of his mother and probably some other things as well, he became a believer. Near the end of his mother's life, he became reunited with her, bringing joy to her heart as she saw her prayers answered in his conversion. Apparently, they were reunited right at the end of her life, and he now related to her as a Christian, and her prayers were answered. One writer says this, "When I learned to recognize faces, one face always smiled at me with eyes that danced with laughter. I called her Mom. When I started walking around the house on shaky feet that could hardly hold me up, someone with a smile in her eyes was always there to catch me. I called her Mom. When I came home late, someone would meet me at the door with relief mixed with love in her eyes. Those eyes were Mom's. And when I asked Jesus to take back control of my life, those eyes overflowed with love and joy. Thank you, Mom." Three ways in which a godly mother loves her children. One is by giving that child life. The other is by protecting and nurturing that child. And finally, number three, by teaching that child the faith of the Bible, the faith of Jesus Christ. God bless each and every mother here today. When you leave today, don't forget your chocolate. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to think about mothers, recognizing that none of us would be here without them, and recognizing also the positive impact that many mothers play in the lives of their children. We do pray, Father, that you would help each woman here today that is in the process of raising and nurturing children, and pray that you would just give them strength, give them stamina, give them everything they need to be what that child needs so they can be a functioning adult as a believer in Jesus Christ in the world in which we live today. We thank you that you love us. We ask that you would bless us as we now go